The FBI agents and digital security experts gathered at VPA the following morning to examine what they had collected. That morning, Harmon and Hedrick decided they had enough to make an arrest. In an unusual move, Digital, normally intent on keeping the lowest profile possible when it came to security matters, agreed to press charges and risk public exposure. It was a daring move. For once, Digital customers learned that someone had been roaming freely throughout a network they believed was secure, and that he not only had helped himself to company software, but, by reading people's electronic mail, had discovered security weaknesses, Digital would have a lot of explaining to do. But as far as some Digital officials were concerned, seeing this criminal behind bars might be worth a little public disgrace. Once they had Mitnick taken care of, they would handle the more nettlesome problem of Lenny. Hedrick went to find Lenny. "How do we find your friend to pick him up?" Lenny was overjoyed. He told Hedrick he knew exactly where to find him. Kevin had just come by to have his car towed to a nearby garage. Lenny called the garage. Lenny knew Kevin well enough to know that money ranked only behind food and computers on Kevin's priority list. Lenny had lost a $100 bet a few weeks earlier that Kevin wouldn't be able to crack one of the electronic door codes at VPA. When Kevin punched the correct code after just a couple of tries, Lenny accused him of cheating. He must have seen the code scribbled on a scrap of paper inside someone's desk. But Kevin not only demanded his winnings, he charged Lenny 10% interest for each day that Lenny failed to pay him. So Lenny called him at the garage to tell him he had just gotten some vacation pay and he had the money for him. "I'll be there in 20 minutes," Kevin said, and hung up. Hedrick told Lenny he didn't want to arrest Kevin unless he had his blue canvas duffel bag with him. Lenny had explained that the bag was Kevin's tabernacle. It contained all his diskettes, papers, and other computing paraphernalia, as well as the computer-age equivalent of a lockpicker's kit, handwritten access codes and passwords Kevin used to steal his way into heavily guarded computers from the safe remove of thousands of miles. Lenny had told Hedrick that the bag contained documents linking him to the stolen digital security programs, as well as to the abuse of the USC computer. In fact, Lenny had said, if they were going to get any hard evidence, it would come from that bag. Kevin's house had been searched so many times that he no longer kept anything incriminating there. The material gathered from the 8 hours of surveillance was helpful, but if the bag contained as much incriminating evidence as Lenny claimed, it would be indispensable in building a case against Mitnick. Lenny cheerfully suggested that he steer Kevin to the trunk of the car, where Kevin always kept the blue bag. As soon as Lenny saw it, he would scratch his head. The signal was carefully arranged. When Lenny reached up and gave the back of his head an absent-minded scratch, they would make the arrest. It was just after sunset, and in the gathering darkness, half a dozen FBI agents slouched under the steering wheels of their unmarked government cars inside the small open parking garage beneath VPA. Just after 5 p.m., Kevin's black Nissan Pulsar rolled into the garage. Luring Kevin there had been easy enough. His next challenge was to get Kevin to open the trunk. Lenny told Kevin he needed an empty disk from him to copy a piece of software from upstairs in VPA. But snaring the quarry wasn't so easy. When Kevin pulled into the garage, he said nothing about the money. He wasn't even eager to get out of his car. "Let's go eat," he said, apparently forgetting the argument they had had the previous night. "I'm hungry." Lenny had to think fast. "But, Kev, I really want to make a copy of this great terminal emulator. Let me just run up and do it, then we can eat." "Nah, I want to go eat now. Copy it later." Kevin's desire for nourishment didn't surprise Lenny, but his insistence seemed unusual. This was one test of wills Lenny planned to win. He stood his ground. Kevin finally agreed to get a disk for him. Grumbling, he went to the trunk, opened it, and lifted out the large blue canvas duffel bag. He put one foot on the bumper and propped the bag on his knee. Lenny reached up behind his head and gave his hair a tussle. Suddenly, the garage filled with the sound of engines starting and tires screeching. Kevin looked around, surprised and confused. Lenny grinned broadly. "Kev, you know that queasy feeling you get in your stomach when you know you've been caught and you're about to get arrested?" Kevin looked at his friend. "Yeah? Well, get ready." Kevin was taken completely by surprise. The broad grin on Lenny's face left him confounded. The FBI agents jumped out of their cars and shouted to Kevin that he was under arrest. They demanded that Kevin put his hands up and lean against the car. Kevin laughed, a tight little laugh. "You guys aren't from the FBI. Show me your folds." 6 large FBI identification folds emerged. Kevin looked at Lenny, who was dancing in little circles and laughing.
"Len, why'd you do this to me?"
"Because you fucked me over," came Lenny's reply. The agents hustled Kevin into one of the cars.
"Lenny," Kevin cried out, "could you call my mom and tell her I've been arrested?"
Ignoring the plea, Lenny turned to Chris Hedrick and smiled. Hedrick nodded approvingly. "You did so well, you should be in my business."